The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our author event series, recorded live at the Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, the Central Library Expansion Project, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
Good evening. Welcome to the Free Library of Philadelphia. My name is Linda Johnson, and I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Free Library of Philadelphia Foundation. The foundation raises much-needed funds to support ongoing programs such as Summer Reading, One Book, One Philadelphia, and the Philadelphia Book Festival, and programming in all of the branches. We have also embarked on a major capital campaign to renovate and expand this building, adding 180,000 square feet of state-of-the-art facilities. A new auditorium is included in those plans. Wouldn't it be great to have comfortable seats and a little more legroom? We are currently working to match the challenge grant of an anonymous donor, so if you would like to support the library and help build an exciting new center for public discourse, call me at the library soon. It's my pleasure this evening to welcome Chief Masaharu Morimoto. Before we get started, please take a moment to silence your cell phones. I'd also like to remind you that there will be a book signing immediately following this event in the lobby upstairs. Born and raised in Hiroshima, Japan, in high school, Morimoto was well on his way to becoming a professional baseball player when a shoulder injury ended that dream. Fortunately for him, and for all of us, he also dreamt of a career as a chef. As a young man, Morimoto learned the art of sushi and traditional kaiseki cuisine by training under several of Japan's esteemed master chefs. After spending 5 years as the chef owner of his own restaurant, he moved to New York City, where he was soon recruited by Nobuyuki Matsuhisa to work at his flagship restaurant, Nobu, New York. It was in 1998, while serving as executive chef at Nobu, that Morimoto began capturing international attention for his performance as an Iron Chef on the television program of the same name. In 2001, in collaboration with local restaurateur Stephen Starr, Morimoto opened his first eponymous restaurant in the United States, right here in Philadelphia. Starr and Morimoto opened a second location in New York in 2006. Morimoto's recently published Morimoto, The New Art of Japanese Cooking, is more than a simple cookbook, with beautiful photographs and essays, as well as instructions for preparing dishes like daikon fettuccine and crispy duck with port wine reduction and red miso sauce. Morimoto takes the exacting standards, simplicity, and beauty of Japanese cuisine and combines them with influences from around the globe. To quote chef author Anthony Bourdain, who incidentally will be appearing here in December, Morimoto is a rock star, an icon figure in Asian fusion, an original atop a heap of imitators, and like a rock star, one of the only chefs, maybe the only chef, who needs just one name. We are honored to have him here with us this evening, and I've been to many of these lectures and have never seen the stage set up in quite this fashion. So I'm looking forward to tonight. I hope all of you are as well. Please join me in welcoming Morimoto.
Can you hear me? Yeah. So, do you like my socks? That's the second page from my cooking book. But I have many, you know, not the only one, you know, wear only, you know, every day, okay? So, how are you tonight? Yeah? Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for coming. I came here, this country, 22 years since the 1985. I didn't even think like this, you know, if I do demonstration, so a lot of people coming in to see me. That's me. I'm very happy and very honored to be here. Thank you very much for coming. Then also, when become a chef, So next, my dream was publishing the cooking book. So this is my event, and this is the second dream come true. So, and also holiday season coming in, okay? So this is a very, very good for the present. So don't hesitate to grab maybe one copy, two copies, three copies, ten copies for your neighbor and your relatives, your friends, okay? And so I'm going to do tonight is a tuna pizza, okay? So tuna pizza sounds like Italian, but I'm 100% Japanese. And, okay? Then a lot of people thinking about Japanese food very difficult, so you can't do this. But so I'm introducing from my book. And I'm doing this job 34 years. I want to bring your kitchen, my skill, my experience, and my food from a successful restaurant in New York and Philadelphia. Okay? So you don't have to buy the knife I have. So you don't have to train the skill I have. Okay? I show you easy one. Then, tuna pizza. So I'm going to use a regular tortilla dough. Okay? You don't have to do any pizza dough. Okay? This is a very easy things. Then, okay. So I'm going to use the saute pan or a grill pan. Okay. So makes tortilla dough makes it crispy like this. Okay. Then I'm going to pour. This is eel sauce. But if you cannot get eel sauce, you can use a teriyaki sauce instead. So teriyaki sauce, you can grab any supermarket, I think. Okay? Then maybe a couple turn over, then make brushes. So don't put too much one time. Okay? Then the other has two. So usually, oh, this is a library. Né? So usually, in the mirror here, you can see there, but. So I forgot, this is a library. Sorry. So I expected too much. Okay. So, you know, like this, turn over, and the brush is a little bit, maybe a couple times, a little bit, not too much one time, okay? This. Did you hear that? Shh. Then we. Then maybe takes about 2 minutes, and then you can makes crispy. So which is I made it here before you came. Okay. Maybe it will be if cool, it will be there. Okay. Then so sauce will be anchovy mayonnaise. So any mayonnaise you can buy. This is a QP Japanese mayonnaise, which is I like. Then, anchovy paste. Easy, very easy. No, this is very important. Sometimes anchovy paste is a little salty. So you should be careful like this. Taste. Cool. Then, soy sauce. Chip. Then, I'm doing Japanese cooking with soy sauce. Then death. So I made from my restaurant. Okay? Actually, he made. No, actually, when I was his age, I did it for my chef, you know. So, you know, I'm the master chef that he has to do for me. This is a rule. Yeah? Yeah, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Then I'm cutting up. This is a red onion. Oh, yellow. Red onion. Okay, I'm doing 34 years. Yes, that is easy. Onions. This is tomato. Jalapeno. Sometimes happen. I am a human being. Okay? And this is cilantro. This is a Tabasco. Then I'm going to grab the main ingredient today, tuna. So this is a bluefin tuna. This bluefin tuna in this season, maybe I guess from Canada. Then now I'm getting problem with the tuna because very difficult to get a good tuna, you know. Then Chinese mainland of China and Russia, those people realize the tuna is good, or sushi is good, started to eat. And this is a tuna in any. So Japanese food will be booming in the world. So pricing up, the quality down. So again, problem. Then, okay. Then when you cut the tuna, so you see sinew here. So if you see sinew here cutting this way, against, it's like a meat, you know. Don't following the sinew. Actually, I don't see sinew this much here. So, okay, slicing. So I'm sure when I hold the knife and slicing a cuttlefish, so I'm a little serious. I am not a good speaker. And the people watching doing this and slicing the fish, cutting the fish, and the other people think, okay, your knife is sharp. Yes. My knife is sharp. But I can give you this knife to use this. But you cannot cut like this because knife is sharp. And also my arm is sharp. This is more important. Desha? Thank you very much. Okay, so tortilla dough with tuna alone, okay? Then onion, red onion. Oh, olive was it, or man? Olive. Onion. Abelo? Rabino. Okay. And you will cut first. Cut 6 pieces, whatever. 6, 8, 10. And this is, do you remember? This is Angemenes. Like this. Okay. And some green. I do cilantro. Then before you cut, remove to a small cutting board like this, because the plating will be easy, not, you know, big, dull work. Okay? Small cutting board like this. See? Easy. Then this is Tabasco. Bam, bam, bam. So I'm going to see Emlo next month, November 13th. So maybe I have to apologize like this. So. He's a really good night. Guy. Yes. Okay. This is the pizza I have. Then, so I have to talk about my knife. This is my knife, brand name called Nenohi. And I think this is number one knife I have in Japan. So this is a kind of my order made. So I'm going to, actually I'm asking them to make how long, how heavy, how thick. And then I have 200 pieces like this. But I only use 3 pieces. So, this is a very special knife. And now, mostly people who work in restaurant are using this brand because of me. But this company, they're not going to pay me anything. So, this is a little problem. Not a problem. So, you know, so when I go to Japan, you know, so see the, this company people, so maybe, so they're going to give me a big discount. That's the case. Okay, I better bring another product, but I brought this, only this the tuna pizza. But you can do this. If you can get a tuna, smoked salmon instead, that's fine. You know, and grilled chicken, and grilled mushroom. So my cooking style, no rule. Okay? And also, I'm not a genius. I cannot make it from scratch. I'm doing little twist. You know, pizza, but not pizza dough. Tortilla dough, and then not cheese, and, sashimi tuna instead, and a little bit twist. It's like a Rubik's Cube. You know, Rubik's Cube doesn't have to have all the side, same color. Okay? Yellow color, some green, two green dots. That's what I'm doing. So in my cookbook, I have a gyoza, which is a dumpling. Okay? Dumpling kind of typical Chinese food. But to me, dumpling is a ravioli. So what's the difference between? So that's why we serve gyoza with tomato sauce and cream sauce. Correct? Yes. So this is my chef de cuisine here. So I should ask. So those little twists I'm doing. And in my cookbook, I said radish fettuccine. This is sound Italian, but I'm Japanese. Okay? Then, so Japanese chef peeling radish like this with a paper thing. But So you don't have to do that. You should just grab a regular vegetable peeler. The peeling like this. Same. What's the difference between that? You know? Then, using tomato sauce, cream sauce, whatever you like. So vegetable pasta. So that's easy. So that lot of easy stuff, so put me in my cookbook. So again, holiday season coming. Okay, thank you. So any questions? I can answer that. Yes.
Folks, you know, let me interrupt.
Oh, sorry.
We've got microphones, so, and we're going to record this too. We're not going to, we are. So if you put your hand up, we'll get a microphone to you. You can ask the chef. And the lady right back there.
Hello, what is your favorite type of cuisine aside from the Japanese cooking?
To eat, to cook.
To both.
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 So finish your tea steak. Don't ask where, which one, you know. So this is a very political. I can answer general cheesesteak.
Another question? All the way back here on my left. You keep your hand up, sir. Thanks.
What was the most difficult special ingredient that you've ever had to face?
In TV?
Yeah, on the Iron Chef.
Okay. So I can say everything very difficult to me, but mostly my debut, which is like 8-9 years ago, so it was a red snapper, Thai. But Thai is very, you know, familiar, so I can do. But that was debut. I have no experience to do this before that. So that was most, memorial, the difficult things. But, so a lot of people ask me what's the difference between the original Japanese one and the Iron Chef America. But to me, the same. So because I'm not cooking for the judges. So I'm not cooking for behind the camera audience. So I'm cooking for me. I'm challenging to myself. So only three judges. So if two likes me, I'm going to win. If two hate me, I'm going to lose. So what's the difference between that? So that's why. To me, Japanese one and Chef America the same. Yes.
Another question? Fourth row back here. Keep your hand up, ma'am.
Thank you. I enjoyed watching you. Wonder how you got involved in the Iron Chef. Is cooking on the Iron Chef show?
How did you get involved in cooking
with
Iron Chef?
Television show. So, I don't know if this is the right answer or not, but I hate TV. I hate Iron Chef. But, the other hand, I love it. You understand? So, this is still, I'm a human being, you know, sometimes too much stress. Sometimes a lot of pressure, so Iron Chef cannot lose a lot. But and then I know, so behind the camera, audience want me to do. This means little, not strange, but something different, then something funny, something gorgeous. Then maybe I can tell you. So you guys thinking, did you know ingredients before that? Yes, I am. But they gave me three hints. So maybe tuna, shrimp, and maybe onion, something like that. And at least I have to do four shows, okay? And I'm doing maybe six plates each show, right? And then 24 and times 3, four. So 72. I have to make 72 new dishes, new idea, new invent. Night. I don't have it. But I should do that. You know, sometimes I taping last month, September. So he helped me a lot. He was the Suribaros. He was on my assistant. But still. Oh, by the way, this is my chef de cuisine, Philadelphia Morimoto, Joe. And so this guy. No, he's going to be the executive sous chef of Morimoto Philadelphia, Sakaguchi. Thank you. And, you know, so a lot of stress there, and a lot of, I have to make a lot of new things, but different. Then last month, Bobby Flay did nine battles, a lot of work. You know, three hints, but still. So maybe you understand, watching, enjoy it, okay, but you should know we have a lot of stress behind you watching. You know. Oh, really? Okay, so me either. I never seen before that. Yes, including my battles. I don't watch anything. I didn't watch anything. So, but I know we were not. So because I did it, but I didn't. Even my battle for what I won, I didn't watch. So.
Next question.
Thank you.
All the way in back here on my right. Yeah. Keep going.
Hi, I was wondering how you came up with your omakase menu at your restaurant.
Okay. You know, omakase is chef-tasting menu. So I have a restaurant in Philadelphia, New York. We do have it. Then Philadelphia price like 80, 100, and 120. So I set up the people coming the first time. So kind of my signature dish is coming 7 course and then 9 course and 10 course. 7 course and 9 courses. So people come in repeat second and third time, so you gotta say repeat. So we try to different menu as before you got. So mostly Japanese cuisine has have their season, and then what's good for that, and depends on ordering from Japan. So mostly fish we are getting from Tokyo Tsukiji market. Then, of course, getting South America, Australia, Europe, and the other side, West Coast. Now, depends on what we got. So anyway, we try my best to, Iron Chef Morimoto tasting menu. But trust me, not from TV. Okay? I have to make a food cost. So that's his part. If I do something from TV, he's gonna be a chef. You cannot do this, you know what I mean? Okay, that's it.
Another question. Gentlemen, 1, 2, 3 rows back.
Where is your hometown in Japan?
And Hiroshima.
Do you get to go back very often?
Oh, yes. My hometown is Hiroshima. So I'm very busy. I suppose back to Japan. Last year, I only went 2 times. Then I couldn't see my mother last year, so my mother getting sick. So I don't know what's the English name, but she's starting to forget about everything. So last time I was here, I was there, Seo Masaru, you came, but no guarantee this time I go. So I don't want to hear who are you. So that's why I have to go. Maybe I'm going to visit my mother next month. So, you know, Hiroshima is kind of a famous city.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why. So this is real. So there is a peace park in Hiroshima. But I never been there before I came here, this country. So I went to the peace park before, you know, get a plane to come here. So maybe, so you had people living in Philadelphia, maybe you didn't go Riva Ribeiro. You know, people who live in New York never go to Statue of Liberty. Same thing. I was born in Hiroshima, and there was a peace park, but I never been there. But I thought I should go there before coming this, you know, this country, because I know, I knew a lot of people questioned, oh, what happened with this. So that's the story. I went to the peace park before, and I get on plane for coming to this country.
1, 2, 3, 4 rows, lady right here.
I can say.
If you could use the mic, ma'am, please.
Excuse me. What does your name mean? First name and last name. What does it mean?
First name Masaharu. Then last name Morimoto. I don't know what that exactly mean. So
I was lucky enough to eat Japanese last Wednesday in a restaurant, and the chef supposedly is your student. It was fabulous.
Where was that?
Second and Chestnut.
Second in chestnuts.
Was it him?
Haru? Thank you. So, very good. Thank you.
Maybe back here on my left, about six rows.
What ingredient do you least like to work with that's hard to make people friendly and something that you love, but it's hard to for everyone else to adapt, or you can't adapt it for everyone else?
Okay. So now people, you know, speaking about Japanese food, Japanese restaurant boom in this country, but not everything for that. So I have to have something, you know, make bigger entrance to for you guys to come into my, you know, like experience. But not only myself, not only Japanese chef self. So maybe a very famous Italian chef, French chef, using Japanese ingredients now. So maybe I didn't even think about that maybe 10, 15 years ago, they're going to have a raw fish. Now they're serving, yellowtail. Tuna, seared tuna everywhere. The sea urchin. So everybody trying to introduce a good thing for you. Okay? And that's question and answer going to be, okay, so lalo substitute with my omakase tasting menu is no sea urchin, not uni. So because sea urchin, even a small restaurant have to buy this much big box, means lot of sea urchin in it. Then, fortunately, I have good business. Maybe I can buy every day because every day sold out, 86, everything. So that's why I'm getting fresh every day. But a small restaurant cannot sell so maybe one box for 1 week. So it's going to be melt, again, going to smell. What color is that? You know? Then, so people getting bad image for their sea urchin. Then, so people who ordering no sea urchins, when I got the ticket, first course will be sea urchin. Then explain to the server, or chef recommended, because I did this, and then chef say, best sea urchin I have in this country, yes. Then, if you don't like, change right away. You don't have to pay anything. Then, so I have to think the presentation, you know, like good and a little, put some, you know, more protein in it. Then, okay, for serving 10 people, 8 people say love it. Then 1 people eat it, still hated it. Another 1 people don't touch. So means 80% don't know anything about good sea urchin. So that's maybe I have to do in this country. Yes, thank you.
Another question. 1, 2, 3, 4 rows back. Gentlemen here. Keep your hand up, sir, please.
Hi. What is your source of inspiration when designing a new plate? Do you travel around? Do you just buy new ingredients? Where do you get your ideas? Experiment? Have a separate lab with work with people designing plates?
Yes, thank you. I'm not thinking about a new thing every day, every night. So I'm getting tired, you know. So, but I have a restaurant in Philly, New York, and Mumbai, India, and Tokyo. So those different countries, a lot inspire me, the different things. And also, I can cook with the famous another type of cuisine chef for maybe the other place, collaboration dinner. So that's talking about new things, the menu, what you want to do, use ingredients, with the drink, okay? So with drink is very important. So without drink, so they never honest, you know. So no, I don't know, I don't know. So we drink, So this, with drink, my beer is the best. So any different country travel and cooking different chef. And also, I cannot do everything for myself. So I'm going to be a good conductor, producer. That's why I have this great chef. So Italian cooking chef, Chinese cooking chef, French cooking chef, Korean cooking chef. Then get together, meeting, I want to do this. What about your experience for French cooking? Why you want to do this, this? And then I have to make final decisions. So I want to do conductor, or maybe I'm going to do executive producer. But I cannot do everything. So that's my running a restaurant business concept. Hey.
Three rows back right here.
How do you see your role as a chef as far as the ecology of the sea or the farm, like sustainable agriculture, sustainable fishing, those kind of things?
You want to?
No, I think I can boom it out there. The answer to your question would be we do take a very hard look at the economy or the globalization of the type of foods that we are using. One example would be the bluefin tuna. Chef spoke about where we get our tuna from is up in Canada right now. Right now the season for tuna is just getting underway. There have been great resources around the world over the last 10 years to start farming bluefin tuna, which has actually helped ease the amount of fish that are being depleted from the sea. So we do take great efforts to make sure that we try our best to use farm fish as well as wild fish as well.
Good job.
All the way back on the aisle here, the man in brown.
Hello, I was just wondering how long it took you to complete your cookbook.
How long?
Yes.
So I'm getting same question there, but I'm doing this 34 years, but still learning. So not easy. So Japan is a small country, but all, Hokkaido to Kyushu, so they have, different cooking style also. So, I'm still learning. But people call me Master Chef. That's okay. but myself, I'm still doing.
Another question right here in front.
Hi. Do any of your recipes have any family history connected with them, with your cooking?
Oh.
Are there
okay.
Any other things in your family as well?
So my family didn't have any restaurant business before that. But one of the big reasons I became a chef is, unfortunately, my mother was not a good cook. So that's why I want to eat good food. Then I became a chef and cooking myself. But then, unfortunately, I'm not cooking anything in my house, home. So my wife doing everything. So my mother still, alive, but I have to say thank you to mother next month.
We have time for a few more questions. Let's see, back here on my right in the hat.
What's the hardest dish you've ever made?
Most difficult dish I ever made. Actually, I'm doing cooking for 34, I mentioned already, but every day, very difficult, because tasty, delicious, and tastes good is not my point, of course my point, but all depends on your conditions. Okay? So if you got any big mistake or a job, you doesn't feel, you are not feel good. And coming to my restaurant, whatever I give you, taste not right. So not the difficult ingredients, not the difficult technique. I have to make you happy when you come to my restaurants. So that's what I'm saying. So always, you know, say to my employees, say, you know, point of view of a restaurant business, okay? Then food is just 30%. 30%. Then people, oh, 30%? Oh, you easy, huh? I'm chef. Even 30%, but I try my best to the 30% from bottom of the heart. But I need another 70% of atmosphere, hospitality, the design, uniform, music, and the people eating around you, and the services, busboys, and the servers, and the reservationist, and the drinking order, Morimoto beer. And then, so anyway, this is a very difficult thing, you know. So other than the, like, cooking, so this is maybe, I think, 21st century. Then in Japan, when we make a soup, okay, one cup of soup, so Japanese are thinking about everything finish up, drinking up, then good taste. That's maybe this is right Japanese the seasoning style. But in here, if I do so, first bite is taste of blood. Maybe people say that, oh, this is taste of blood. No, no good. So I have to have some impact with the first bite. So this is a very difficult between, you know, here in Japan. Then sometimes Japanese customer coming in, oh, this is not the Japanese food. I say, fine. Okay, they sit on the sushi bar. I say, okay, turn around. So how many Japanese customers I have? No. So I'm business here. Then I have to introduce my culture from Japan. Then I have to merge. I have to make a marriage with your cultures. So this is my business point. So this is okay for answer, sir? Thank you.
All the way in back here with the hat.
Well, I'd like to know if you made your mayonnaise anchovy mayonnaise from scratch, or did you buy it already made? And if you made it by scratch, I'd like the recipe. And if you bought it, I'd like to know what brand it is. And I also would like you to speak for a minute or two on the puffer fish that I think the Japanese said at some times of the year it's toxic and other times of the year it's okay to eat. And could you explain how that puffer fish is prepared and special chefs get special permits to handle that fish?
Okay. First question I can ask that. My recipe from cookbook from scratch. 2 egg yolk and so you can use a Love Cooper, you know, blender. So that's fine. Then I use today the QP mayonnaise. So Japanese, you know, brand QP. QP mayonnaise. So I think this is the number one, you know, share in Japanese market. Q. Q. Oh, so?
K-E-W-P-I-A.
Then, so second question was what?
Fugu.
Ask fugu. Ask about the fugu?
Yeah.
Also. You ask me the blowfish?
The pufferfish.
What about the pufferfish? Fugu? Oh, blowfish. Okay. So I have a license. I can cook. I can serve the customer. I have a license in Japan. But this is a poison fish. But I have a license in this country. Philadelphia Morimoto and New York Morimoto. We serve that in the season. Season started next month? December. Yes, December to February, March or February, yeah. But, okay, we have one organization in New York. So the restaurant of people who want to serve fugu have to join that company, I mean organization. Then, so this organization brought FDA, Health Department went to Japan together, and then FDA checked everything, facility or HACCP, everything. Then those this organization only could get the permit to blow fish from Japan, so which is all clean in Japan and frozen, they bring it here. So then blood has a poison. They take blood off, take guts off, everything, take skin off there, and then maybe you can have a Morimoto restaurant. So, you have to pay a lot. Then also you have to have a life insurance before that.
Well, I hope everyone's policy is up to date. Please thank Chef Morimoto, Saka, and Gerald. And please join us upstairs for the book signing.
Thank you for listening to a podcast from the Free Library's Author Event Series. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information is available at freelibrary.org.